We have a brand new Village Vice and a basketball game all dropping on the same day. What did we do to deserve this goodness?
Yeah.
He is Zach Blackerby. I'm Brad Law. You are here, and we are glad that you are here. And not only are you here watching, but some of you are here participating in the show because we're doing something today, right, Zach, that we don't normally do, but we might do more of, and that is just answer questions directly during the episode.
Yeah, and of course, this is these are all submitted via The Barn. Go sign up today, thebarnauburn.com. You get $25 off your annual subscription if you go there right now. Charlie Five, Kyle does this on the Top Button podcast. He calls it the Barn Takeover. We can't call it the same thing, so we've got to think of something. Village Vice, Voices, Villager, vibing with the Villagers. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But think on something. You're better at that than me. You're better than that at that than me. So let's just jump into this.
Okay.
Cambo asks, what is your biggest concern going forward for basketball? All bug aside, can this team transcend the Auburn is gonna Auburn curse?
What does that mean? What is the Auburn is going to Auburn curse?
I guess the whole choking thing, losing to Yale, losing to Miami.
Yeah.
I guess that's it.
Okay. Because like every team except one loses every year.
Yes.
But
okay. I don't love the conversation around successes and failures of college basketball being solely based on the tournament.
Right.
This year's a little different because it's like if they don't do something historic from Auburn perspective, it is going to be a disappointment. But most years, I don't feel like that's entirely fair.
And I do understand the disappointment of last year and the 22 tournament. I do understand that. So I'm not totally banging on that. But can this team? Well, here's how I'd answer that. Going into the tournament in 22, you kind of thought, like when the bracket was announced and you saw Miami in the couplet. Oh, their guards are big and experienced.
Couplet.
Big and experienced guards have been the problem when there has been a problem. So that could be a problem. Last year, I don't know. I mean, you know, Chad Baker gets tossed a few minutes into the game and things just never, they never were able to get the tempo.
Yeah, but I mean, it was more than that, though. I mean, it was more than just Chad. Like, Auburn should have been able to beat Yale last year without Chad, but
yeah,
obviously it didn't happen.
I say all that to say I don't know how to answer that because I don't look at this team and see a weakness.
Yeah, I think the biggest concern for Auburn basketball is the randomness of the NCAA tournament and the randomness of the sport. I mean, you can have, you know, a great shooting percentage and all the analytics love you, but if you have an off night, like it's over, like you're done. If you have that in the round of 32, it's like there's only so much you can do. Now, I do think Auburn has so much more they can throw at you where they've got more options and more opportunities to succeed within an individual game. But my biggest concern going forward for this Auburn basketball team is just the natural randomness of the sport. Because like you said, only one team wins the entire thing. And it's usually, UConn's kind of bucked that trend lately, but it's usually not the best team.
Yeah.
Or the team who's had the best regular season. So that's my biggest concern.
You know, I'll use Kentucky in two examples to illustrate this point. Last year's home game against Kentucky, Auburn was a better team. But they couldn't hit the ocean. They fell out of a boat.
Sure.
Just couldn't hit a shot. Same thing. Kentucky's a better team than Arkansas is this year, this year. But the other night at Rupp, I mean, so even playing at home, some nights, if you just can't hit a shot and the other team does, man, that's how it works. 30 games, 35, 40 games, you might have one that does that.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
I would agree.
All right. Wardam Smeagol asked this question. I had to shorten it some.
Okay.
Smeagol was long-winded, which is fine. TheBarnAuburn.com. You can be as long-winded as you want.
That should be the catchphrase. TheBarnAuburn.com. You can be as long-winded as you want.
There you go. We're all excited. I'm having to read this because Brad's glasses broke. We're all excited about the wide receivers. You think about the possibilities of Coleman, Singleton, Simmons, Perry, Fields, etc. My question is, have you guys heard anything about Bryce Kane? I've not heard anything about Bryce Kane.
No, not. I mean, not beyond what we have talked about on this show. I mean, he's got electric speed, and you know, he was a guy that we thought might if we were talking about surprise receivers last year, we would have probably talked about Bryce. His speed is elite. The question is just, can he get on the field? As we've talked about, beyond about five or six receivers, maybe, you just guys just don't get the opportunity to get on the field that much. So
yeah, the path to playing time for Bryce still, like we said this last year, Robin had a lot of slot guys. I don't think the situation really changes that much.
Right.
Because anytime you target Bryce out of the slot, you're taking a slot rep away from Malcolm.
Mm-hmm.
Curious to see how they use Horatio Fields as well. He played a good bit of slot at Wake. And then Eric Singleton played slot, a lot of slot at Georgia Tech. So I don't know. Like, I don't really know what the path to playing time looks like. They do, right. You know, less tight end stuff. Maybe they play more four wide receivers. Maybe that's the path.
Have a double slot. Yeah.
But I don't fully know. I don't fully know what that path looks like. So,
I like Bryce. I like Bryce a lot.
Yeah. I like Bryce a lot. Yeah. I like Bryce a lot for sure. For sure. Another question.
How much of the last two seasons can be attributed to coaching? Enough about Thorne. We get it. So that's from Weagle 1492. See, I can read.
I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
You just like misled me on how much you needed your glasses.
It hurts. I mean, my eyes hurt a lot right now.
It hurts?
It hurt, yeah. My eyes hurt reading it without the glasses, but that's okay. I can do it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
How much of the last two seasons?
Let's do that.
Okay. Yeah, you look great. You look great. I don't think we fully know. It feels like a lot of the play calling was inconsistent at times. And I don't love putting everything on Peyton.
Right.
Was Peyton great? I don't think so. Was he awful? I don't think so. And so some cases were probably Peyton. In some cases were probably Thorne. In some cases were probably the offensive line. Like, I don't think it was. That's what was so frustrating a year ago. Is like, I don't think you could point to just one thing.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest question. I talk up. This is a common criticism, both on this show and on Locked On. It's like, you criticize everything and you still think, like, you know, you kind of hint that you think Auburn's going to go 7-5. But yeah, like, I don't think the roster is the issue at this point. I want to see Coach Freeze call a game. I want to see that edginess in play calling and efficiency in play calling that we saw at Ole Miss, because I haven't seen it at Auburn yet. I just haven't seen it. And I want to see it here.
Yeah. I mean, look, in 23, I can make these arguments and not have to stretch that much to get there. In 23, if the receivers were better, Auburn wins more games.
Okay.
In 24, if field goal kicking is better, Auburn wins more games. I can also say if quarterback play was better, Auburn wins more games. It's not, we want so much to have one answer and pin. We want to pin the tail on the donkey. We want one pin, one donkey, one pride. We want one simple answer.
But don't you think like if you look at, and we all know a game is more than just the last play, but those last plays are the big ones. And you know, going into it, like, you want quarterbacks that can excel in these biggest moments. You want coaches that are calm in these biggest moments. Like, we all know this. And that's what's going to be talked about a ton.
Yeah.
And you think about the 4th and 31. And it's like, I think we all agree, like, that play call wasn't great defensively. I think you think about, like, keeping the ball against Missouri and not punting it back to them. You think about the pick six, like, why is the ball even in the air against Oklahoma? You know, why are you continuing to throw it when you've, like, threw a million picks against Cal?
Yeah.
And most of those, I think, were, like, play calls. I think most of those were.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but most of them were. And some of it was execution. And some of it's, like, your team just not being ready. The 4th and short against Georgia, where there was the drama of, like, Peyton saying that, like, that's what Hugh Freeze called. And then Hugh Freeze at the podium saying, like, there wasn't a check there. And that drama that we had going into the bye week. So like some of that is like, why is this even happening?
Yeah.
That's on freeze.
I think that's fair too. So that's what I'm saying is like, we want to just put one thing, but I think all of those things, you can make all of those individual cases, and you're right. When we think about the 1994 LSU game, I know that seems random right now, but I'm going
to. I was somewhere. One.
We think of the 94 LSU game.
How old were you in that game?
13. I was 13.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
All the pick sixes.
Was one.
Do we put those on Jamie Howard?
No.
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 We put it on Curly Hallman, the LSU coach, for continuing to throw the ball. I've never heard anybody talk about how pitiful Jamie Howard was at quarterback for LSU. Mm-hmm. They all go, there's no way LSU should have been throwing the ball in that situation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think the head coach does take on a fair share of responsibility when situations like that arise.
Yeah, right. Great question,
yeah.
Weagle. His was longer as well, and he added the whole, like, it's time to step up type deal. Got it right here. Bottom line is, if Freeze doesn't win more games this year, he's gone. So how much of that is bad coaching versus how much of that is really bad luck, basically?
Yeah.
I think it's a mix, which is a frustrating answer, but I think it's true.
Well, it's frustrating because of what our expectation is. We're expecting an easy answer. We're expecting an easy, quick, one-size-fits-all answer. Sure. That's not the world. That's not it.
Right.
I do think that they could benefit from greater attention to detail. If you are more disciplined in your pregame scenarios and practice it, what if this, then this, and you have those buttoned up better, then, you know, when you come down to those fourth and one situations, there is no question. When you come down to whether to keep it or punt it or what, or go for it or whatever, there's no question.
Well, and communication during the week needs to get better.
Yeah.
And I've heard from either directly or indirectly from literally every quarterback that left last year. We had four quarterbacks leave, all for different reasons.
Yeah.
But communication was something they all brought up. And if you're calling plays, you need to like be able to finish the sentences of your quarterback. And I don't know if that's really happening, and that needs to change for sure. For sure.
Yep.
You also can change by going to roback.com. RHOBACK.com. I'm wearing one of the performance hoodies right now.
You look phenomenal as well. You look top tier. More so than you usually look.
I appreciate it. I appreciate that, Brad Law. They've got all of the hoodies, the collared shirts,
vest.
The quarter zips. Mm-hmm. What'd you say? The vests?
The vests. The best vests.
Are you a vest guy?
I'm a vest guy. I do like vests.
How about that? You can get it all at roback.com. We don't want you to pay full price. You can get 20% off your order by using promo code VICE20 at checkout. They're going to have like a site-wide code. Take that out. They'll automatically apply that. Take that out and use promo code VICE20 to get 20% off your order. Before we jump into more questions,
yes.
I don't think folks realize this, but there's me, the lowly half of Village Vice. And then we've got Brad Law, who is the celebrity judge at the local spelling bee today.
No. I was not a judge. I was the pronouncer at the spelling bee today.
So is that the guy where you're like, can you use it in a sentence?
As a matter of fact, it is.
No way.
Yes.
How old were the kids participating in the spelling bee?
You know, they were in the like sixth, seventh grade range.
How many words did you read that you didn't know what they were?
Zero.
Okay.
No, I knew them all.
Got it.
I'm going to put you to the test in a minute, but can I tell you quickly about some drama leading up to the spelling bee? Some fear and angst for me.
So there's very few things I love more than pre-spelling bee drama. So sure. Please tell me.
Yeah, it is the hallmark of great conflict, which is why it's been on ESPN so many times. So I know that I'm going to be the pronouncer. This has been in place for 2 months. Like, I've been ready for it.
Here you're pretty busy. I mean, you've got to be booked 2 months out.
And stop. But like the night before, like, hey, tomorrow's a big day. We got spelling bee and we got basketball. It's a big day. So I'm playing basketball with my son last night inside, you know, Nerf hoop basketball.
Okay.
And it gets a little physical, right? He's 11, almost 12, and he's trying to beat dad. And dad's
starting
not letting
to push you a little
in.
Bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It gets physical. I put my glasses down on the bed like a moron. like a rookie. And it got a little physical, and the glasses hit the floor, and I stepped on the glasses.
Oh, my goodness.
So the glasses are broken. Lenses are fine, but the frames are shot.
Uh-huh.
Thankfully, I remembered that I had a spare pair, but it's from like 3-4 years ago. The prescription's not current. So I'm wearing the spare pair right now, and I wore them today for the spelling bee. And it was like, I'm still a little bit, even looking at some of the words.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at a few of these, and they've got really long definitions. I'm like, please don't ask for the definition on this one. And then the kid, you know, didn't. And so that was nice. But nice. Some tense moments at the spelling bee just to make sure that I could pronounce the word and read the words. Because, you know, if you can't read the words, Zach, why are you even there?
That's right.
As a pronouncer.
That's right. But you did as you always do. You persevered. You battled because you're a warrior.
Yeah. And we had a winner today. Can I give you some of the words from the spelling bee?
Yes.
And see if you can spell these.
I'm not going to attempt to spell them.
You got to attempt to spell them.
No way.
People don't
want that.
Yes, they do too. Yes.
No, they don't.
Try to spell the word untenable.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Arian found himself in an untenable position when his boss asked him to lie to the auditors.
Untenable?
Untenable.
Untenable. Untenable is what I would guess.
Ding. You're out.
I'm done.
You get a bell when you miss the word. There's no second T. It's untenable.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Untenable. You want one more or should we move on?
Nope. I speak GIF. Ask a question. I speak GIF. I don't know why I said GIF. It's GIF. I don't know why I did that. You're so in my head on this topic. What position group on offense and defense are y'all most concerned about this upcoming year? This is easy to me. It's easy.
Linebacker for defense?
No.
You don't think so? You think defensive line?
Yes.
You think interior defensive line? Because you're not worried about edge at all.
Interior D-line. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I go linebacker. I'll go linebacker over interior D-line. Because I think they'll add more guys on the interior.
Well, I think the path to adding more, like one more linebacker versus two or three interior is like way more reasonable for the linebackers.
Okay. I just think losing Keys and Asante and what you lost and Mayusi.
I think Mayusi is a bigger loss on the field than the other two.
Than Asante too, though, but the combination of losing those two guys together?
It's a lot of snaps that you're losing, for sure.
Yeah.
I think by the end of the year, Riddick was better than Asante.
Okay.
You're still losing snaps. You're still losing a body. Like, I'm not downplaying it, but I do think linebacker production will be easier to replace in the spring portal.
Okay. I mean, I'm not.
Because I think you're looking for a third linebacker. I think for defensive line, like, you're looking for a potential starter.
Yeah.
And, like, is that going to happen?
Right.
I don't know.
And if it does, are you as sure about post spring signees as you are December portal signees?
I mean, you essentially need to do what you did last spring portal. Like, if you told me there's a clone of Philip Bleedy and Isaiah Rakes, okay, but I think that's enough.
That's true. Rakes was a post spring guy. Yeah, that's right. That's true.
I think that's enough. I think that'd be enough. So,
yeah.
On offense, depending on the day you ask me, it's either quarterback or tight end.
Yeah. And I think it's more, I don't even know that it's as much tight end. And I'm not that worried about the quarterback, just to be honest with you, even though it's a brand new room.
I'm worried about the quarterback in the sense of, like, he's the one who has to execute the scheme.
Yeah.
And I need to be shown that the scheme is good.
Yeah.
So part of that's not really fair, but right. It's the answer.
It goes back to question one. And it goes back to the hole in the cup where you hold your confidence. As we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the cup where you hold your confidence, 100%. Yeah,
your confidence cup.
That's right.
I don't. That's a tough one for me to answer. I don't know that I'm concerned about any group. I like what's coming back everywhere offensively.
All right, you want to read this one, Eyeballs?
Yeah, this is from Rhett Lashley Burner.
It's crazy that Rhett Lashley has a burner in the barn. That's crazy to me.
Or as we call him, RLB. RLB says, which incoming freshman do you expect to have the largest impact on offense and defense? I like this question.
This is easy for me too.
Go for it.
I think it's Ryan G on offense.
Ooh, okay.
And I think it is new boy Fagans on defense.
Okay, I think I agree with you on Fagans. Gosh, I don't know.
I think Ryan G has the clearest path to playing time.
He's got the shortest path to playing time and therefore the clearest, yes, because I don't see a receiver as good as they are. I don't know that a receiver breaks in.
Yeah, let's go through it. Deuce Knight, biggest name, but
probably not.
Right? So I think other things would have to happen for that. Alvin Henderson, let's assume Omar Mapson signs tomorrow.
Yeah.
No?
Not the largest. I think that that's the opportunity for the most balance within the running back room than we've seen here in a long time.
Four deep, though?
Probably not. Asking the question, have the largest impact, but okay. So no, not there either.
Receivers, Derek and Eric Smith, Sam Turner. We were just talking about how's Bryce King getting on the field.
Right.
And then your linemen are Broderick Shaw, Cale Ellis, Ty Buster, Jacoby Ward. Like all of them, I don't think they play much this year.
Not as true freshmen, no.
And so your relevant snap contenders are tight end, which is Ryan G and Hollis Davidson. And I think there's more receiving tight ends in front of Hollis than blocking tight ends in front of Ryan.
Okay. Brandon Frazier is going to be on the field a lot in those blocking situations, but you're going to bring in two. You're going to have two. And you think he's next in. So you don't think they'll have Frazier on the field with Preston Howard in a blocking situation or Rico Walker in a blocking situation because of their propensity to be.
Oh, I don't think he's going to be like the focal point of the offense, but I think he just has a better path than everybody else that we just mentioned.
Yeah.
That's my logic there. That's the logic.
Okay. It's hard to argue that. I mean, I hate to not have conflict.
Let's look at this. So Rivaldo had 530 snaps last year.
Yeah.
And like, does Preston Howard get 530 snaps? Like, I don't think so.
No.
Luke Deal had 287. Mike O'Reilly had 73. Rico Walker had 24.
Mike only had 73?
Yeah. That surprises me. They played him like two or three snaps a game. Like, it was kind of.
Kind of.
I don't know. I won't comment on that.
That surprises me a little bit. I think Frazier's will be somewhere between where Rivaldo and Luke's were.
Okay.
All right.
Totally reasonable. Airplane guy asks, thoughts on pineapple on pizza? I say no.
I say no, and you'll love my reason why. Never tried it.
Really?
Never tried it. Don't want to try it. Don't have to. Not going to add anything. Nothing's missing in my life for having never tried it.
I've accidentally tried it before where, like half Hawaiian, half like pepperoni or something. And like, it wasn't cut perfectly even. And so like half of the slice was, Hawaiian, half was pepperoni. Yeah.
You didn't like it.
It's fine. If that's the only option and that's like what's for dinner, like I'll eat it. But there's pretty much unlimited options for pizza.
Yeah.
And for people to say that's the best one, I just think you're wrong.
I mean, to each his own, but no, I just don't need to. It's if on your own time you want pineapple on pizza, that's fine. But don't be a pineapple proselytizer for me. Not a pineapple pizza proselytizer, please.
PPP, if you will.
Right. Yeah, please. How you feel about pineapple and chicken?
Fine.
Those two together?
Once again, like not my preferred way to eat chicken.
Yeah.
But yeah. And like I like pineapple salsa and like mango salsa a lot, like fruity sauces mixed on top of chicken. So yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. I made chicken for the kids last night and we had pineapple. And I said, what's good if you try those together? They tried them together and they liked it. And then they said, now you try. I go, no, that's all right. I don't want to try.
Do you just not like pineapple or?
I love pineapple. Pineapple is one of my favorite foods on the planet. I just don't want to mix it with. I don't want to mix it with something.
That's interesting. That's one of your favorite foods on the planet, but you don't want it with other good things that are enjoyable.
Right. That's correct.
Okay.
I mean, I like pickles and I like ice cream too, but I don't want pickle ice cream.
I don't think pineapple's a top five fruit. You know what I mean? Like, that's really kind of where I'm at with it. Like, I can eat it.
Oh.
But I'd rather have strawberries.
No.
I'd rather have blueberries.
Okay.
I'd rather have raspberries.
All right.
Blackberries. Banana.
Kiwi. Wait a minute. You'd rather just peel a banana and have it before you'd have pineapple?
For sure.
I was with you, and it's just so easily you said that too, so casually. All right,
I don't think that's crazy.
Okay.
I don't think that's crazy.
Banana by itself has no flavor.
I think I'd rather have a... It tastes like a banana. What do you mean?
It tastes like a mistake.
It tastes... What?
It tastes like a
banana has no flavor. What do you think banana flavor is? That's the crazy... You've had several bad takes here. And I'm not even like pro-banana, Brad.
No, you are. I like it, but
I'm not like... To say it doesn't have a flavor, that's ridiculous.
Compared to the pungency of the flavor of a pineapple, a banana is
not what you said. You said you'll just peel a banana. A banana doesn't have flavor, is what you said.
I'm a fan
by that. You didn't say, well, compared to a pineapple, banana doesn't have flavor.
You're right.
Don't move the goalposts here.
No, I'm not. You're right. That's fair. I'll stand by it. It has no flavor on its own.
That's wild. That's crazy.
And yet,
the best food group in the world is peanut butter. Peanut butter on anything. And there are a few things that make peanut butter even better. One is chocolate. Two is banana.
I don't disagree with that. But the peanut butter is doing the heavy lifting. The banana is simply a...
So when you... you're acting like you don't taste the banana, though.
I love banana.
That's absurd.
When it's warm.
Warm. Yeah, you got to have warm banana pudding. I mean, I'm not pushing away cold banana pudding, but warm banana pudding is where it's at.
But look, when a kid is sick, they tell you there's like four things they can eat when they have an upset stomach to test and see if their stomach is better. They have like a cracker or some toast or a banana.
Okay.
Because the banana is tame on the palate. It's bland. It's not a threatening flavor on the palate.
But it is a flavor.
Okay. They're with me on this. The villagers are with me on this.
Most people are going to like the banana. I think you're wrong on this.
All right. Won't be the first time.
And I just want to be very clear. This isn't banana or pineapple. This is Brad's attack on the banana.
I buy bananas like crazy, but I freeze them and put them in smoothies because they thicken them.
Frank Talbert's finger asks, what year does Auburn rename the court at Neville after Bruce?
What a great name. Oh, I love that. FTF.
Year does it become Bruce Pearl Court at Neville Arena?
Do you wait? I mean, don't you have to wait till he retires? I don't know why you have to wait, but I guess you do.
I think it depends on. I think it depends on what he does. If he wins a natty, do it this offseason.
Go ahead and do it.
Who cares? Like who doesn't want that?
That's a good point. That's a really good point because he's already the winningest coach in program history.
Yeah,
and the SEC championships, the tournament championships. If you win a national title, go ahead and do it then. Okay.
Whatever.
So either this offseason or whenever he retires.
Yeah, if you want to wait the first offseason, he's done. That's fine, too. That's fine, too. Let's don't do a whole 10-year anniversary thing or anything like that. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. And also, we need a statue.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, probably.
Great. I thought you were going to say, like, never mind. That's it. That does it for today's show.
Okay. What a great show. I love this. I love the question and answer. I love the villager voices.
Yeah, we've got more than we didn't get to, so we may get to them later this week.
Good. And submit yours over at thebarnauburn.com. Sign up, get $25 off the annual subscription.
Yep, there's a thread called Village Vice Mailbag, so just check that out. Auburn win tonight, quickly. Yeah. Auburn win tonight, yep.
Yeah, not by like 20. I think it's closer.
The line's 16.5. Yeah. I don't love that.
I don't either.
I don't think I would bet on this game.
It's a quick turnaround. Oklahoma's number one in the league in field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, and free throw percentage.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. But I do think Auburn wins.
All right. That's it.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for commenting and subscribing. Yep.
Get us out of here.
Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.